Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, September the 10th. And I've got to tell you, we are experiencing here in the North Texas area what could best be described as a completely different weather report than we've had for quite some time. I mean, the temperatures today were between the mid-60s to the mid-70s. That's as high as it got. I remember I was outside for a while today in the car. You couldn't really run the air conditioning because you freeze. And then you couldn't really open the window because it was raining a little bit. So I just went ahead and put the air on, you know, really low, just to make sure that the car stayed cool. But it was just one of those days that I do not remember. I have lived in Dallas since 1984. And I do not remember a second week of September. Are we the second week? Yeah, a second week of September, like what we're living through right now. I mean, this is incredible. I mean, climate change, I guess, would be the, I don't know, I'm being facetious, of course, but I haven't seen anything like this since I've lived in Dallas. And it's 68 degrees right now, and that's what it's going to be for the next 3 or 4 days. So, you know, I always tell you that if you're coming to Dallas, bring a swimsuit. Well, if you're coming to Dallas over the next 3 days, you better bring a sweater, because that's exactly how it feels. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about this book that just came out on President Trump, and of course the Atlantic article is still out there, although that article is kind of falling apart on its own. It's kind of hard to write an article of that magnitude and be taken seriously when you don't even have sources willing to put their names behind whatever they said. So I think that article is kind of falling apart. But I want to talk a little bit about the larger picture here and what I think is happening with these books and these articles. First of all, there's going to be a book and an article probably every week between now and Election Day. You're going to have a book, somebody who knew Trump, somebody who worked with Trump, somebody who maybe got information from somebody else. But I think from now until Election Day, you're going to have a book, if not every week, every couple of weeks. And every time the book comes out, it's a breaking story, it's a blockbuster, it's, you know, the most important thing ever. And then people will forget about it, which is what happened with John Bolton's book. Remember, that one was supposed to change everything. It didn't. And my guess is the same thing is going to happen with Woodward book. The Woodward book is interesting because the interviews were done back in February. Now, let me say something critical here of President Trump. Why in the world would President Trump sit down or talk to Bob Woodward? What's the point? I mean, Woodward, I don't know him personally, but I kind of get the feeling he's a Democrat because of the books he's written. He wrote very critical books about George W. Bush, the first Bush. He probably wrote one about Reagan, although I don't remember now. And it was the same, you know, the same thing. I mean, these books certainly were not meant to make Republican presidents look good. And now he's written one. And again, I don't know why President Trump sat down with him, because now you've got President Trump, his voice in an audio tape that they're going to use in the campaign. And I guarantee you that they're going to be running these audios in the campaign. So why the president did it, I don't know. But again, back to the larger picture for a second. I think these books and all this criticism of President Trump, whether it's the articles of the books or the books, they've reached a saturation point where I think for a lot of people like me, these books go in one ear and out the other. It's like, you know, we're sitting there saying, okay, another book, another article, okay, another book, another article, change the channel, please. And I think that's what's happening. And I think many of us are basically immune from these books. We're immune from what these books are saying. Again, not necessarily because we love President Trump, as everybody who knows me knows. I was not a Trump supporter in the primaries. I was hoping that we would have a different candidate, but he won. Well, he was nominated, he won the election, and frankly has turned out to be a very good president. I mean, the things that he's done with the judges, the things that he's done with cutting back regulations, the tax law that he signed. Look, any Republican president or candidate to the presidency in 2016 would have loved that kind of a record. So I started out skeptical about President Trump, but I've become a huge fan because the guy puts up results. Now let's talk a little bit about the big picture again that I was talking about. I think a lot of us are just worn out. We're saturated with all these books and articles. And I just don't think it has any impact. Somebody was asking me the other day, do you think that the Bob Woodward book is going to have an impact? And I said, no, I don't think it's going to have any impact at all. It's not going to change any votes. If you hate Trump, now you've got another book that you can talk about. It's just like the Atlantic article. If you hate Trump, now you've got an article you can put on Facebook. And if you hate Trump, now you've got a book that you can read. But at the end of the day, it's not going to change my vote, and that of the people I know will be supporting President Trump. So in a way, all of these books and all of these articles have frankly just saturated the marketplace to such a degree that I think a lot of people are just exhausted by it. It doesn't do anything for me anymore. I mean, I'm totally immune, if you will, from these books and from these articles. I think after a while, you reach a point where it's like, you know, so what else is going to come out? You know, what's the next book going to be? What's the next article is going to be? But at the end of the day, it doesn't change any votes. One, because we're very polarized as a country, and two, because of what I just said a minute ago, and that is that I think people have become immune to these books and these articles. They know that these articles and these books are going to be negative about Trump, and it just goes in one ear and out the other, and nothing happens. And as I said a minute ago, get ready, because there's going to be a lot more of these books, and there's going to be a lot more of these articles between now and Election Day, but it won't have any impact because people are just worn out. You know, they're exhausted by these books, and they've reached the point where it's, you know, what's the point? Another book, another article. People are tired of it. They're exhausted, and that's why they lost. It just doesn't have any consequence. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. A minute ago, we were talking about these articles and these books and how I just don't think they have any political impact anymore, that I think they've thrown everything at President Trump. Nothing sticks. Nothing brings him down. And, you know, it just doesn't matter anymore. It certainly doesn't matter to me. And I know a lot of you out there feel the same way. Well, one quick point I wanted to make is that the NFL is apparently starting their season tonight. I say apparently because I'm not watching it. normally I'm not a huge fan of the Thursday night game, unless the Cowboys are playing. But this year, I've got my issues with the NFL. And I think they've become so politicized. Now, they're not as bad as the NBA. I mean, the NBA is just ridiculous. But the NFL, you know, they're doing it, but not as much in your face as the NBA. But nevertheless, I have issues. I have issues with players who think that the only way they can protest is by kneeling during the national anthem. I don't understand that. Why don't they do something on their free time? You know, why doesn't the league, you know, create a, let's say, a program every Wednesday where these players can go into the different black communities in the country and talk to black young men about staying in school, talk about, you know, respecting the police, maybe working with a police chief of some of these cities to get actually something done, to get something actually done, not just, you know, kneeling during the national anthem, which really doesn't get you anything. But anyway, I'm disappointed. I'm disenchanted, and I'm probably not going to watch a lot of games this year. I'm not saying that I will not watch any games. I'll probably keep up with the score indirectly. But I'm not sitting in front of the TV and watching a lot of games this year, as I normally do. I just think it's too much. But more than the fact that it's too much, what they're doing is so counterproductive. They're not doing anything about anything by simply kneeling during the national anthem. As I said, there's so many opportunities in the community that they could be doing. You know, I just mentioned a minute ago, they could get together with a police chief and say, hey, chief, what can we do to help you have better relations with the community? They could go into all of the inner city schools and tell kids, stay in school. They should be walking around telling young men and women, hey, get married. Don't have babies out of wedlock. It's not a good idea. So there's a lot of things they could be doing on their own time that I think would be a heck of a lot more productive than what they're doing by kneeling in the national anthem. So I'm not watching it, and I don't think a lot of you are either. And if you look at the NBA ratings, nobody's really watching them. They're going to take a beating, a big beating this year. Now, I don't know if it really matters to a guy like LeBron James because he's got all the money in the world, but I think some of the younger guys who need to make money, they're probably going to start feeling the pinch here because, you know, the owners are going to start cutting it back and they're going to take it back from the players. If the owners are losing money, they're going to take the money from the players. So this is not going to end well for the NBA. Aside from the fact that the NBA, they're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites at the NBA. You know, they're talking about human rights violations in the United States, but they don't do anything about China. They don't even discuss China. They're not even making a point about China, which is pretty incredible. Well, you may have heard that Dallas, the police chief, has resigned, and she's going to be retiring in November. Not retiring, but leaving the job in November. We also have a couple of other cities looking for a police chief. And obviously, each one of these cities has a particular story. I'm not saying that they're all the same or, you know, the same situation. But I do think it's going to become more and more difficult in the future to get people to serve as police men and women, and to get people to work as police chief. Because I think we've made the job of being a policeman so hard, we've made it so difficult, that I think a lot of good men and women are going to say, you know what, I can do something else. I can do something else and make some money. I can do something else. Or I think you'll see a lot of policemen and police women just, you know, look for opportunities outside of these blue cities. And I, you know, maybe looking to be a policeman in the suburbs or something like that, where maybe they're going to be more appreciated. But it is really devastating what many of these local governments have done to the police. It is just absolutely horrible. I have no other way. And these black Democrats, the Democrats in many of these cities, ought to be ashamed of themselves for what they're doing to the police. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.